Hello and welcome to the Essential F1 podcast. I am your host, Nicola Hume. As always, I am joined by the, yes, the Ben Edwards. Now, F1 is back and thank you to Zandvoort because that was a cracker. So your thoughts on that, please, Ben.
Oh, it was an emotional event because it was the last Zandvoort event for Formula One for foreseeable future. And to see Lando Norris take the victory with McLaren so that he will have that line of being the last winner at Zandvoort unless we ever see them come back there again. He did a fantastic job. There was lots going on. That dampness at the start of the race when they tried to get it going initially and Max Verstappen's crash and then the avoidance, and we'll talk about this a bit more. There was a bit of avoidance going on. Thankfully, there weren't any major accidents with each other. And then the race itself, great midfield battles. Yes, Zandvoort's a difficult one to overtake on, but we saw a lot of good midfield battles. The way Nico Hülkenberg moved up, I did feel for Racing Bulls because they didn't score any points and they've been scoring points regularly for a number of races. So there is so much for us to get into and look forward to talking about.
Let's do it. Producer Jim, what you got?
Okay, Russell Watch. Great Saturday. Converts a sprint pole into sprint win. Misses out on the Grand Prix pole to Norris, but out-qualifies Antonelli. A poor start at the first lights out, and then on the restart, he gets mugged by Piastri. Looked to be struggling, but stayed out during the last VSC and hung on to third, despite having to let Antonelli through. Is George just now a rear gunner for Kimi, or still a championship contender? Discuss.
Well, we have been joined by longtime F1 journalist and presenter, working on BTCC as well, Louise Goodman. What do you think about what George Russell did this weekend and going forward, as he's asking?
I was clinging on for George, like George was clinging on to that third position towards the end of the race. I really, really felt for him. He's just having to fight so hard for everything. He's just had, the only luck he's had has been bad luck, if you know what I mean. It just, things aren't going his way, are they? Yeah. But what have we got? 11 races still to go. You know, there's a lot of points still on the table. Yes, he's a long way behind. I'm never say die. You know, he's gonna hang on in there. And if you look at last year, just think back last year. Okay, the points different wasn't as much, but it was Oscar. And then look what happened. Lando really came through in the second half of the season. So go George, I say.
I think he's got every right to be annoyed with them letting Antonelli pass him by so quickly. I think
because he was a bit anxious initially, but then afterwards when he did his interviews, he said, "I don't totally understand that."
Oh yeah, but that was just for media, surely. Because I just think he had every right to be annoyed by that because it was. To be able to get a double podium for Mercedes, it made sense for George to be in front just that little bit longer for Antonelli to hold Lewis and everyone else.
But it wasn't going to be that little bit. Well, it was going to be that little bit. He was going to get past, wasn't he? He was going to get past Kimi. And in the course of doing that, if they'd held each other up, they would have lost that third place.
Yeah, if I was George, though, I would have been peed off by him.
I think he was, well, he was clearly peed off at the time, but then when he looked at the figures afterwards, he realised it made sense.
Yeah, no, it makes sense, but I think they could have held it just for a couple more laps because it's not like Kimi was going to go and win the race. He was way too far behind to win the race. So there was no point in them changing positions so quickly, I don't think.
Well, there's plenty more to come. Jim.
Okay, two in a row for Norris. Outscored Antonelli in both the sprint and the Grand Prix. Fantastic overtake on Antonelli and was really impressive on the used set of hard tyres, having not pitted during the last VSC. Feels like the 2026 regs have clicked for Lando and McLaren. Is he now Kimi's biggest championship threat? Discuss.
Right, well, hang on a minute. So here is where the championship stands at the moment. So you've got Kimi in P1 with 242 points. Then it's Russell and Hamilton on joint points. Mm. Yeah, with 183 points. And Norris is just a little bit behind on 159. Like you said, Louise, we've still got, 11 races to go. So anything could happen. But seeing Lando now, I think it's game on. I do.
I have to say, to start off with, that overtake, that was a jump up off the sofa and cheer moment,
wasn't it? Beautiful.
I loved that. Absolutely. Probably not as much as he and the team did, but I just absolutely loved that. It was fantastic. Yeah, he's found his stride, hasn't he? Obviously, the car has come on in the last couple of events and he's really found his stride. So it's still a big gap. But
did you think when Antonelli was trying to get past Lewis Hamilton, But Lando was watching all that and then just thought, right, now it's my chance. And I just wonder, was that an Antonelli kind of rookie thing that he was a bit less experienced? If that had been a more experienced driver, would they have been a bit more wary of Lando? Or
It was sneaky though, wasn't it?
It was. It was
very clever.
I don't
think anyone would have clocked him doing
it. No, maybe not.
It just kind of came out of nowhere. It was so impressive. Yeah, he's a good boy.
Yeah.
He actually proved that he's the reigning world champion this weekend. He really did.
That was the move of a world champion, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, 100%.
Really,
it was. It was just instinct.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah. And he's definitely in the game.
Yeah.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it goes for the rest of the year. I mean, I noticed he was saying, the McLaren's working so well through the fast corners here at Zandvoort. We're not always the quickest versus Mercedes, but I think they're doing a fantastic job. They've really developed the cars well. They're working together really well. And the way Lando has rejigged his driving abilities with this very different car from what he won the championship with last year, because we're on such different regulations this year with the electrical combination, and he really wasn't enjoying it in the early part of the season, but he seems to be getting it together now.
We now need to consider him when it comes to our prediction championship of the world, which we're going to come to a little bit later on, because I think we should start feeling a little bit threatened by Ben Edwards. That's all I'm saying. All right, producer Jim.
Okay, Max Verstappen celebrated his new contract with Red Bull with a terrifying first lap crash. He was not the only one to spin on the slippery banked last corner. Gabby Bortoletto spun and somehow did not get collected by his teammate Nico Hülkenberg. Was that luck or skill? Discuss.
It was unbelievable. I mean, you didn't clock it because we were too busy focusing on what happened to Max. So when you were watching it live, it's like, oh, Max, Max, Max. And none of us saw what happened between Nico and Gabby. And then all of a sudden, when it came to the replays, you could see Nico Hülkenberg could see nothing. It was just a cloud of smoke, nothing. How he avoided that and his reaction time, I've never seen anything like it. It was beautiful.
I think there was a lot of luck involved. I mean, Ben will back me up here. As a driver, you kind of go where you instinctively think
exactly,
you need to go,
instinct.
But there is so much.
I agree.
You don't have time to make a conscious decision.
It was instinct, but I think his instinct has always been good, actually.
Yeah.
And I think it's a bit of a mixture of instinct and luck. And top drivers that I've watched over the years do make the right decision in an instinct like that, as you said. And he is very talented. And it was lovely that he came through, made a really good overtake later on as well, when there's a battle of three of them.
Yeah.
And he managed to nip through to finish in eighth place. So that's two races in a row now that he scored points for Audi. I think that's a real bonus.
I think not everyone has that instinct in them. I mean, if that Simon on his way to work, he wouldn't have made that judgment.
No, we're talking top drivers. Yeah. Talking of top drivers, how unusual to see Max.
I know.
Make such a mistake.
That was, yes. And it was tricky, that initial start with the dampness. And I think, you know, he went really quite tight into the curb.
It was that final little bit of the curb, wasn't it? Where it was just the whatever you call it, rumbly bits.
A bit more dampness there still.
Technical term, that rumbly bit.
Those rumbly bits.
He was just literally on the paint for that fine little bit.
Yeah.
And it's very rare to see him lose a car.
Yeah,
He's got such great car control normally. But
no catching that one.
You could see the difference in the line that Max took compared to the line that Liam Lawson took,
indeed.
Just ever so slightly behind him, that Liam Lawson was slightly further out. It was, like 20 centimetres difference.
Liam had had a slight sideways moment before that, and then you could almost see him being a bit, ooh, cautious. I'm going to, you know, but it did look like Max was just going for it a bit harder. He knew he was under threat. It was quite interesting seeing the battle between the two teammates on that first lap, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was fun.
Well, it was nice to see Liam back in a Red Bull suit.
Really nice.
Did a great job.
Challenging Max Verstappen.
Holding on to P7 as well. That whole race, I thought we did great.
He needed that. I mean, it was short, but it was very sweet, you know, in terms of his battle with his teammate, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
In that race, but yeah.
And obviously, Max has re-signed with Red Bull, which we are going to be discussing a little bit later on while we talk through the 2027 driver market.
Indeed.
But first of all, producer Jim.
Okay, Ferrari strategy watch. Textbook Ferrari weekend. Looking it quick in the race trim, but with too much to do after qualifying fifth and sixth. Leclerc looked racy with a fantastic up and under move on Piastri, then held up Lewis as he was trying a different tyre strategy. After some shouting on the radio, they both got lucky with a free VSC pit stop, but couldn't quite pip Russell. Can Ferrari avoid slipping away from title contention? Discuss.
Well,
Lewis was getting a bit cross, wasn't he?
Sorry?
Lewis was getting a bit cross under the VSC.
He was.
Like, are you going to pit me or what? Yeah. And then suddenly it was box Lewis. Oh, I see.
Yeah, he was a bit upset. And I can sort of understand that. I mean, the way that Mercedes, as you were saying, that George was a little bit upset that they'd asked him to let Kimi through. But Lewis Hamilton was upset that Ferrari hadn't asked Leclerc to let him through. Because when you're on different tyres and in different situations, you do need to work together as a team. I do think that matters. It really does.
Charles Leclerc had a great sprint race as well, though, didn't he?
He did.
It feels like he's kind of he's coming back fighting a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Yeah. I do know what you mean. I'm just thinking to myself that comment from Lewis. Do you think I think if the Italians didn't get sarcasm before Lewis joined, Ferrari's certainly learning all about sarcasm now, aren't they?
Yeah, they definitely are.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not the first of that similar kind of testy. Really, I mean, he was really angry, wasn't he?
Yeah, you could hear the crosses.
Yeah.
I mean, that virtual safety car at the end as well, that really affected Lewis getting past George Russell. And then there was that moment where it looked like Hamilton and Leclerc were always going to have contact, but thankfully they didn't. So it's fascinating to see how it goes. But Ferrari, of course, we will be talking about this going forward. We're going to their home event coming up after this, Monza. So whether Ferrari are going to be able to deliver at Monza, that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Back to you, Jim.
OK, Red Bull seat switcheroo. Isaac Hadjar manages to injure his wrist boxing in the summer break. And Liam Lawson is drafted into Red Bull with Yuki Tsunoda into Racing Bulls. How do you think they got along? Discuss.
It was nice to see Yuki back as well.
Yes, it was actually. I was pleased to see him back. Yeah.
And also the fact that they had to throw him in a random green screen room so that he could shoot his opening sequence for the opening for Formula One titles. So that was quite sweet. It was really nice to see him back and see all his media notes and stuff that you could see on social media. But I mean, we've said it already, but we have to give a shout to Liam Lawson. I know we have a Liam Lawson fan that watches his show every week. He was brilliant over the weekend. And I think in terms of who was going to step up to take Hadjar's seat, my money wouldn't have been on Liam. I would have thought they would have given Arvid a go, but actually Liam was the right choice.
It would have been a quite big ask from Arvid, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
But he's had a great season so far.
He has had a great season, but he is still very young. He still has a lot to learn. I mean, I know, you know, it's not, we've seen Red Bull in the past put drivers in at the deep end. Maybe they've learned from that. Maybe they've learned, actually, don't throw them in before they're ready for it, because we've seen Liam, you know, being a classic case in point. You give too much and it
too
can
soon.
Really
yes.
take them down at the knees it takes them a while to get over it and to recover.
I feel that they've done that sometimes as well. They put them in too soon.
Yeah.
I think they are getting better at that now. And he did do a great job. And the fact that he was only just over a tenth slower than Max in qualifying. And then, as we said, you know, had that battle on the opening lap.
Yeah.
And the Red Bull was not the best car at Zandvoort. There's no doubt. You could see that in the race itself. He was pretty much on his own for most of it, but he just held that behind the top three teams. He held that position throughout. So I think Liam Lawson did a good job.
Can I hit you with a curveball question?
Oh, go on.
Do you think if Helmut Marko was still involved in Red Bull, that would have been the choice?
Funny enough, as we were talking about, you know, in the past, I instantly thought Helmut Marko, because from my experience, some drivers you need to cuddle, some drivers you need to beat them up. And he didn't get the cuddling bit, did he? He was very much just the, you know, treat him in, keep him keen kind of driver management style, which doesn't work for everybody.
Yeah. Mm. So maybe that would have been throw Arvid in, and then if he does a terrible job, they'd get rid of him. But they did it right. They did it right. That's what we're saying.
Yes,
did
absolutely.
It right. Yes.
Absolutely.
Producer Jim.
Okay, Aston Martin watch.
I'm so happy about this.
We were promised an engine upgrade to match the B-spec car that we saw in Hungary. Not great in qualifying, but Fernando Alonso did what he does by dragging the car to ninth place and their second point score of the season. Can Aston reel in Williams in the Constructors' Championship? Discuss.
Well, let's just ignore the fact that there was six DNFs, and that's probably the reason that they were in ninth. Let's ignore that and just say they brought some upgrades this weekend. We knew they brought mega upgrades in terms of the body back when they were in Hungary. Now they were here in Zandvoort. They brought different upgrades, and it seems like they're moving in the right direction. I know Stroll didn't finish. We'll ignore that bit. But lovely to see Fernando Alonso up there and actually getting some points.
I agree, but I'm not sure that the changes to the engine or power unit were as good as I hoped they would be.
Oh, I know, because I put money on fastest lap for Fernando and that didn't happen.
Yeah, and the fact that in qualifying, Williams were ahead of them both.
Yeah.
In qualifying, in the race, yes, Fernando, so clever, and we're looking after his tyres and limiting his pit stops. I think that's typical Fernando. That's his skill. I'm not sure the Aston Martin car is that much further forward yet. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
He is so smart, Fernando, isn't he?
He is.
He just is one of the smartest drivers, not just out there, but that I can think of in all of my time in Formula One.
Yeah.
So smart. It just makes me sad. That's my old team. Do you know what I mean? I still think of that team as it comes from my old Jordan team. It's where we were based. So they will always have a special place in my heart. Adrian, we worked together at Leighton House.
Yes,
both of our very first, I'm showing my age here, aren't I? But, you know, we worked together. That was our first Formula One team. At the same time we were there. So I'm emotionally invested in that team, and it makes me very sad that they are in the situation that they're in at the moment. But hey, this is a big boys game, isn't it?
It is.
And big girls game.
Well, we can try and find some positives in that maybe they could catch Williams and overtake them, because Williams aren't doing that great.
Is that a positive though?
I don't know.
Sorry to, you know, rain on your... I'm not quite sure that's a positive.
I know, Williams.
They are struggling. And we can talk about that a little bit more in a moment too, as well.
Yes,
actually.
We will. Yes.
But we need to get into, we need to talk about, as we always do in our podcast, and it's normally about unperforming drivers and teams. But this week, as we are looking forward to next season and the drivers that will be with the teams, and we have heard, of course, some very useful news that Max Verstappen, after, despite us all talking about where's he going to go, nothing has changed.
Nowhere.
He's now made his contract with Red Bull even longer going forwards. So that, no surprise, the Williams drivers are staying with them as well. And then it's more of a question of what else is going to happen. Well, just looking at the top end, there's no real major changes, is there? Mercedes and McLaren and Ferrari, which are our top teams at the moment, we're not going to see any changes for next year.
Fine. Keep that the same. Perfectly fine. I'm sure George Russell is very happy about that.
Yeah, and Piastri as well.
Well, of course, because obviously all the rumours were that Max was going to take their seats. And I guess, Max taking your seat is probably your biggest threat. And then they would have seen that brilliant video from Red Bull social media. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. I've been working elsewhere over the weekend, so I haven't been totally across all the social stuff.
It was very good video. It was Laurent Mekies and Max, and he's going, I'm pretty sure there's a typo in here, because the title of the email was Max Verstappen resigns. And Max goes, no, there should be a dash in there.
Yes.
And it's resigns. You're like, oh, that's really good. That's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah, till 2030 at least, until, you know, things go wrong again next season. And then we'll all be discussing it again, because there's always a clause in a contract somewhere.
And in terms of Red Bull, of course, we think Isaac Hadjar is going to stay, because he's done a great job already with the team. And I felt for him that he had an injury, so he couldn't compete this weekend, but he's doing a great job. For the Racing Bulls, there is still always a question with Racing Bulls, and a bit like we were talking about earlier, because sometimes they don't make their decision until quite a lot later. Arvid Lindblad's done a great job as a rookie. Liam Lawson has done a great job. And I think, in fact, what he did this weekend, moving over to Red Bull, I think that will give them more confidence to just stick with him. But there are, you know, they do love going for younger drivers like Nikola Tsulov, who is the F2 championship leader at the moment. He's a possible.
He's a possibility, but at the same time, I don't see why you would change that Racing Bulls lineup, because they are doing a really good job.
Yeah.
So maybe, I mean, I don't know where else Nikola Tsulov could go. He should go in a Red Bull car for obvious reasons, but like, where else could he possibly go? He should be on the grid next season in Formula 1.
But it's that age-old problem. You know, you get the drivers coming up through the ranks, and then you get to Formula 1. They ain't going nowhere. They're there for a few years. They're not doing two seasons and then moving on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They are there. So there's always this bottleneck of incredible talent that comes up through the ranks, and a lot of it then just ends up going sideways. You know, think of all the fantastic drivers we've seen, the GP2 champions of recent years, who've disappeared off and never been heard of again. So F2.
The way that he's won the F2 championship, he's flown away with it.
Yeah.
So he looks like a sure thing to be on the F1 grid, but at the same time, I don't know where he would go, because why would you change Racing Bulls? He wouldn't.
I know. It is tough nowadays, because actually F1 drivers who are at the top level, they stay in Formula 1 longer, I think, than in the old years. Drivers who were even him in the 80s was slightly dangerous, but earlier than that, the dangers of accidents where you would actually be hurt or even possibly killed. So thank goodness now Formula One is so much safer. But it does mean, I think, that we get drivers staying in Formula One longer, don't we?
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I think another key thing with racing bulls is, you know, you've got Arvid there in his first year. It would be quite a big thing to have two drivers that young, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, one guy who's done 1 year and one guy who's done nothing. You're kind of leaving yourself exposed there from a technical perspective.
Yeah.
I would imagine that you want to have that. You know, you're always looking for the perfect blend of experience and speed, aren't you? So,
well, we'll see what the others are doing. Alpine Pierre Gasly has signed. Franco Colapinto quite likely to stay, but it's possible we might see some changes there. We don't know for sure that Colapinto is staying. Maybe Alonso would move from Aston Martin.
I don't think so. I've had this conversation so many times with so many different people, Fernando going back to Alpine. So, I mean, it's just not going to happen.
From what
we've heard of his contract when it comes to Aston Martin and stuff, it's like even if he stops racing, he would still be involved in the team, would still be like a brand ambassador type guy for Aston Martin.
Sense.
So I don't see him leaving anytime soon.
Why would you do that? I mean, the energy that it takes, you know, he's 43, is it? Something
no,
like that,
more,
isn't
he's 40, I think he's going to be 46 next year.
Oh my God, is he really?
No, he's not.
Isn't he?
I had no, and there's me thinking he was like 41, 42. He's 45.
No, okay. he's doing a great job. He is.
Well, there you go.
Well, and we've got a few more to talk about. Haas, of course, Ollie Bearman's definitely staying with Haas, but is Esteban Ocon going to stay with the team? What do we think on that one?
Oh, the feeling seems to be no, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a real shame. Esteban, I think, is a driver. It's incredible. I was watching and actually talking in socials. F1 did a little social piece. You know, which driver are we talking about with all the teams? You forget how many teams Ocon has been in.
Yeah.
He's been around for a long, long time, hasn't he? But very much kind of flown under the radar to a certain extent. And I think when that is the case, maybe it is time people will start saying, well, hang on a minute, he's not delivered yet. Maybe trying to, you know, bring somebody delivered. Let's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe Nicholas Solov goes and takes Ocon's seat.
Wow.
And then Ocon gets a job in a pub or something.
We shall see. from the Audi point of view, Bortoleto definitely staying. Hülkenberg, I think, they haven't actually confirmed the contract. I think he is going to stay. And actually, just looking at what he managed to do this weekend, avoiding his teammate, not crashing into him, and then getting points again, I think they're very likely to keep him on again.
Yeah, well, Gabby Bortoleto's been doing a great season so far. And the rumours were that Carlos Sainz was going to move over to Audi. And then
that hasn't happened.
Mm. So, yeah, I guess why would you not keep the Hulk? He's great.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. He does the job for them, doesn't he?
Yeah.
As we saw at the weekend, when there's an opportunity, he'll take it. And I think you choose a racing driver because of what they do on track, but there's the off-track stuff as well. And he kind of fits them all there, doesn't he, from an Audi perspective?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. But also, I totally wanted Sainz to move over to Audi. I really wanted that
to happen. That's not happening though, is it?
I know. I just genuinely, that was the shock for me. I mean, I know we were expecting silly season. We're all getting excited for people to move to different places. Then it ended up being boring season because Max just stayed on. But I was excited to see this big Carlos Sainz to Audi announcement. And
why?
Then it was just, because, I mean, it makes sense because the connection that his dad has with Audi when it came to the Dakar and that kind of thing, it just seemed like it was a perfect connection of Carlos Sainz and Audi. And then it just, I couldn't believe that it's a multi-year deal with Williams when Williams haven't been, we're going to talk about this later as well, when Williams haven't been delivering what Carlos Sainz needs, but also at the same time, Carlos hasn't been on top form. Has he? It's all been a bit all over the place. I was just surprised by it.
A little incident between them at the end of that race.
Yeah.
And he did apologise.
Yeah, but I just didn't see that one coming. I didn't see multi-year coming. I thought it would maybe be the same as Albon with like a year or something.
Yeah, I see what you mean there. But it goes multi-year based on what is going to be coming up in a few years' time, doesn't it? So if everybody else is locked in, what's the point of doing your 1-year contract? Because you've got nowhere to go next year anyway. So
Yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. Aston Martin, of course, Lance Stroll's going to stick around.
Is he?
I'm sure. The only son. We've already talked a little bit about whether Fernando's going to stick around or not. Dear. I mean, it was very much up to him to choose what he might do. I suppose one of the things that has been suggested is maybe that Yuki Tsunoda, who's had a drive this weekend, as we know, he does have a connection with Honda, of course, and Aston Martin now have Honda power. I suppose there is a chance that if Fernando decided to leave, and he might decide to retire at some point, who knows, then Yuki might have that chance to get back in. I don't know.
Isn't it funny how we just assume that Stroll's going to stay on forever?
Well, maybe not forever.
Only talk about Fernando.
Yeah. I think I don't see that as being a good fit.
Hmm. What, Yuki?
Yuki.
If
you've got Lance Stroll there, you might want somebody.
I don't see that as being a particularly strong driver partnership. You need... Fernando is such a safe pair, more than a safe pair of hands. Mm. That's doing him discredit to say that. But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's all encompassing. He covers so many bases that we don't even know exist behind the scenes.
It's the historic knowledge, all that sort of stuff to help build the team.
And those brains. And no disrespect to Yuki, but I don't kind of credit him with the same sort of statesman-like attitude that Fernando has.
Wonderful.
And I think that's needed with a brand like Aston Martin.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll have to see. And Cadillac, that's the remaining one. Well, we know Sergio Perez is very likely to stay. Bottas may well stay there as well, but there are some questions about somebody else joining in. We've got a different boss now, of course, for Cadillac, haven't we?
Because that was announced over summer.
Graham Loudon's gone, and it's Marcin Budkowski now.
I mean, Colton Herta. I mean, it's an American team.
Yeah,
but he's not been setting the world on fire yet, has he?
In
he
F2.
Needs to do a little bit more. Yeah.
But neither have
Cadillac.
Yeah.
No one's setting the world on fire yet.
No,
but you
quite.
Need to build up to something.
And I do feel for Colton because he's very experienced in America. He's had to relearn a lot of the European tracks, of course, doing Formula 2. He did do a bit in his junior life. But I know he's having a bit of a tough time in Formula 2 to prove that he's got that speed. But I do think he has got a lot of ability, actually.
He did British F4 back in the day.
Yeah,
so
he did.
We were covering him on the UK circuit.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, he did a pretty good job there. I just think if you're going for, and obviously he's got the nationality, he's got the contacts, he would be great from that fit. But we've already been talking about, you know, F2 champions who are maybe looking for a seat.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a hot youngster, there are quite a few of them around, aren't there?
Yeah, but is it too soon to go for a hot youngster for Cadillac anyway? Because, I mean, it seems right having Bottas and Perez with, you know, their experience and that kind of thing to help.
I like the blend of hot youngster and you know, safe shoulders, I think.
Yes.
So what would you
think?
That would be the ideal.
Because keep Checo.
I would keep either of them, whichever you think is going to be the best fit for the brand.
They're
because
both
I think
great.
They probably bring the same experience, they're very similar. You'd put them on a par with each other, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
They're very safe pair of hands. They're very experienced drivers and they can deliver when required. But you would partner that with a young hotshot who doesn't think, older drivers think about things, younger drivers don't. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You don't employ them for their brains. You employ them for other parts of their anatomy without getting too graphic about it. So that's why it makes such a good blend, having a safe pair of hands and a hot-headed youngster. Mm. Maybe not too hot-headed, but do you know what I mean? Somebody who just doesn't think about their racing.
Your thoughts, please, Ben.
Oh, I tend to agree. I think
good.
Your advice on drivers is very good. So, all good stuff. So that's what we're looking ahead for. But there are some other things to talk about too.
Right. Before we move on, make sure you subscribe to our channel, please. We are Essential F1. We know there's lots of you that watch and listen to our podcast, but we would love for you to actually subscribe and click follow because it's good for us.
That would help us.
Yes, then we can carry on going. So we are Essential F1 on YouTube, on your podcast channels, and then all across social media as well. So give us a follow. We're going to read some comments, okay? Now, as Ben mentioned, Williams have re-signed both of their drivers. And before the summer break, I may have suggested that James Vowles has not come through on his 2026 promises. Some people might say that what I said last time was a little bit controversial because I said, if this was in football, I know you don't like to talk football, Louise, if this was in football, he would have been gone by now because of the promises that he's made over the years. And he's not delivered on any of those promises. We've had some replies.
Oh, good.
Allow me to run you through some of them.
Go on.
So we've got at Doug Allen UK on Instagram said, he's basically had to rebuild the entire team and facilities. I get that. And then you've got at Rubber Goat, what a great name, on Instagram, who says, luckily it's not football then, or we'd be talking about sacking Adrian Newey too. Actually, looking at other teams who have acted in that way has shown that maybe it's best to try and stick with it. The difference is that we discussed this last week anyway with Adrian Newey, is that, yeah, he most of the car that has been driving for the first part of the season wasn't really his doing, but now he's kind of getting his hands on it, so it's slightly different.
Yeah.
And then you've got at Tuckeroni1 on Instagram, doing all he can on a shoestring with ancient equipment. I get it, all right? But then there are some people that agreed with me, which is really nice. So you've got at Moogie12 on TikTok, who says, I hate that I agree with her.
Harsh.
Why do you hate that? I'm just stating facts. You know, maybe let's be friends. We can go out for a drink or something. at James Pithy on TikTok says, look how long has kept Gunther. That's a good point. Team went backwards every year and still kept his job until last year. And then you've got, I don't know, I done six on TikTok, who says, totally agree. He sold this year and have failed miserably, yet this had hardly any coverage. Many thanks to Aston Martin. That's a good point. And just for balance, at Grant7555 on TikTok offered, they need to bring back Maldonado. They just need an elite driver. Where's that come from?
Well, some great comments from everybody. Thank you so much for getting involved in all of this. And I want to ask you, Louise, about what you think about where James Vowles is at the moment with Williams. Because, I mean, he was a great engineer at Mercedes. They have Mercedes power with Williams, and yet it's just not coming together for the team as yet.
I think he's more than a great engineer. I think he's a great leader. I think there's a lot, you know, Williams, if you look at their facility, how long has it been there? 30 years ago, was it? They moved to Grove, something like that. Mm. It's old by F1 standards when you look at the other places around. You know, their wind tunnel is obsolete. They've got a lot of upgrading to do there. As we know, they've kind of had to you know, drag themselves into the modern era. So James has had a lot of work to do. They've taken on board a lot of new people. And it always takes time. You don't just buy people and expect it to work overnight. It takes a while for the you know, you get all the ingredients, you can have the right ingredients, but if you get the wrong temperature or something like that, or, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm mixing my analogies here, but it takes a while for these things to come together.
I agree, I've seen that before. It does take a while.
Yeah, and I think what you need in those circumstances is a good leader.
Yeah.
Who people want to listen to and who people want to follow as well. And I think James is somebody who people want to follow.
Do they anymore?
Well, which people are you talking about? I'm talking about the people inside Williams.
Williams. But for the last couple of seasons, the promises that he's made in that we're working on, didn't even touch the car from last season. We're just working on 2026.
Where did they finish last year?
Well, because they weren't even working on the car.
Well, of course they were working on
the car. Well, they weren't making tweaks, but they were focusing on this season. And he was like, next season, this is it. This is where it's going to happen. It's going to be incredible, blah, blah, blah. Has offered the world to Carlos Sainz. This is why I was so shocked that he signed a multi-year deal this season. But all of the fans were like, oh, this is going to be incredible. This is going to be such an amazing thing. And then nothing happened. And then I don't know really what's going on with their drivers. They clash into each other in Zandvoort. It's just not working out.
But it's interesting the way, as you mentioned, that Carlos has re-signed. Does that give him he knows a lot more from behind the scenes as to what's going to happen going forward. So for him to re-sign, surely that has given him a bit of confidence that Williams are going to build
back. Not convinced.
Okay.
Carlos has more confidence in Williams than he does in Audi, potentially.
Yeah, well, it's either that or they've just given him a lot of money.
I don't think they have a lot of money to give him. And I also genuinely don't think, you know, Carlos is another of those very, he drives with his head to a certain extent,
doesn't he?
Yeah. He's a very, very bright man.
Yeah.
He wouldn't, you know, he is privy to a lot of information that we will never, ever be privy to. So I think if he's made that decision, that I'll take Carlos's vote of confidence.
Okay.
Above most other people's vote of lack of confidence. Sorry.
That's fair that you choose Carlos over me. I totally get that.
I tried to broaden it out and make it lots of people, but yeah, over you.
But look, if you're watching this and you have your own opinions, by all means, put it in the comment section below, because we love all of the dramatic comments. We love it. Bring them. Bring it on. If you want to go against me, that's fine. But then also don't be too mean. Thank
That'd
you
be
very
nice.
Much. Now, before we move on, legendary Louise Goodman. That's what it says here. Legendary Louise Goodman. It's what I've got here on my notes. We say goodbye to Zandvoort. It's gone. That's the last race that we'll have for the foreseeable future. Do you have any sort of legendary Zandvoort stories?
I mean, I was really excited to go. I was lucky enough to go. I've been to Zandvoort three of the races whilst it's been back on the calendar. So, and it was one of those. It was a legendary circuit from before my day. You know, so many stories about Zandvoort and what happened there and the races. You know, that had been there. So I was really excited to go there, but quite surprised when I got there about it's such a tiny little track. I actually looked up the stats earlier on. I was at Donington Park this weekend for the British Touring Car Championship. And I was saying to people there, because we were watching the action from Zandvoort on the TV, one of the guys on my team said, it looks like amazing. And I said, "It's you don't understand, it's tiny. That's one of the reasons they're not going back there." And I actually looked it up. I was saying you would fit Zandvoort within the confines of the Donington Park circuit. When I looked it up, you'd fit 1.5 Zandvoorts within the confines of Donington Park circuit. It's tiny, and I think that's the problem. It's been amazing going there.
Yes, it got changed from when it was first created in 1948, and it was a much bigger, longer track. And actually, I remember I actually raced it on my old Formula Ford many, many years ago on the old track, and it was a very different track. You had long straights and chicanes to dive through, and then they had to cut it right back into a smaller version that it is now.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's been fantastic going there.
Yeah.
It was a great experience, but you've only got to look at some of the scenes that were coming out from this weekend. I mean, you know, the fans couldn't get in. The infrastructure is just not enough. And, you know, they have chosen not to renew the contract. And in this day and age, when so many of the circuits that Formula One visits have government backing, Zandvoort doesn't, you know, they've got to make the numbers stack up themselves. And if they can't make the numbers work when they've got, you know, Max Verstappen on calling in the crowds, then nobody can make the numbers work. So that's the sad realities of life. It's been great while it lasted.
I know, it's such a shame. It's a shame for the Max fans, but I mean, they'll just end up going to the Red Bull Ring anyway.
They'll find a way. I mean, to be honest, they'll just reclaim Spa, which was their circuit before Zandvoort came along. So
fair enough. But I mean, if we're talking about that Zandvoort wasn't quite the perfect circuit for fans, what do you reckon are the best circuits for fans?
Best circuits?
Give me a top five.
My top five. I mean, Zandvoort, the fans were absolutely crazy trying to make a television programme. Because it's such a small circuit and there's not much going on, they had a DJ. So you've got in the background, doof, 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 doof.
Literally the camera, like, all day side long.
So great atmosphere there, absolutely great. My top five, I would say, I mean, Silverstone. You've got to say Silverstone. Obviously, I'm biased. I would say Silverstone. But also, and I hope you would still have the driver saying this, I think the Silverstone crowd is a very knowledgeable crowd.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a very respectful crowd, and they appreciate all of the drivers. So we're going to Monza next. Amazing crowd. They'd be in my top five, but they only care about one team. And that's fine. But I love the fact that the British fans care about all of the teams and love that. So Silverstone, Monza, you've got to put Monza up there. I mean, Monza madness. So the Tifosi are just absolutely barking, aren't they? I love Japan. Because again, the Japanese fans are passionate. I remember but they're so polite. Well, when we had the warm-up, it would be often be very, we get there really, really early and it would be dark when we arrived. It was only when the sun came up, you realised that the grandstands were already full.
They were so
quiet.
Yes.
And they would polite clap.
They would get in so early, wouldn't they?
A wave, a little flag, you know. Yeah. But they, again, so knowledgeable, so passionate. And then at the other end of the scale, you've got Brazil, Interlagos.
Oh, yeah.
The drums would just be going all day long, you know. And it's a real bowl. And right down at the bottom, which is where the TV compound used to be, there was a mad grandstand. And you could literally, I mean, pretty much anybody, and it probably half the time it was when a woman stood up and walked past, the whole crowd would go crazy. The drums would be banging, there'd be whistling going on, and just fantastic. Fantastic. And of course, it's a real old school circuit. So it's like the fans are on top of you when you're on the main straight at Interlagos. So many places we go to, the fans are quite far back. But Interlagos, they're really in your face. They're right next to you. How many is that?
That's four.
Is that four?
You're only allowed one more. I can't allow two more. I'm not allowing it.
I'm going Australia. I love Australia.
Yeah.
I think the Aussies love their motorsport. Mm-hmm. They have to get up in the middle of the night to watch it most
they
of the
do.
Time.
So they do. They're proper fans.
So they are proper fans over there. And if you look at all the Aussies that we have in and around Formula One, okay, Kiwis as well, but there's a big Antipodean influence into Formula One. I'm lucky enough to work in Melbourne every year. And again, you know, the minute they open the doors there, they are running from the other side, from the main gates to get to the amazing Melbourne Walk that does grown and grown over the years. There's a fantastic atmosphere in Melbourne. And I'm a bit biased because I love going to Australia.
That's five. That's your five.
Okay, good list. Good list. Thank you.
Well, I have another question for you, yes. Louise. And this is because of what you're actually involved in, not just F1, because you're very involved in the British Touring Car Championship. Yeah. And there has been this news that Jason Plato is now no longer part of the team that he helped set up at the end of last year for going into this year. So what have you been learning about all of that at Donington this last weekend?
As you can imagine, it's been a big topic of conversation at Donington. It is all kind of quite legal, so there's only so much that we can talk about. Both sides have sort of issued statements giving their brief views on things. I just think, what can I say? I think it's terribly sad. I think, you know, Jason is an old mate of mine.
Yeah.
We know what a character he is. Yeah. I'm sure he's not always the easiest
We've
person.
We've had him on this podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's not always the easiest person to work with. But Jason had an amazing vision for what he wanted to do. He wanted to do it differently. He wanted to just, you know, Jason likes causing a bit of chaos in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but it's got to the point now, I think relationships have broken down, basically. And there's, you know, from on the money side of things, which is, I think, what has prompted the relationships breaking down. And I just think it's all really, really sad because I think, you know, it was such a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Jason is a good mate. You know, Dan Rowbottom, who was the other sort of driver involved, and the people from Cataclean have been a long-term partner of his, and that was where the money was coming from. You know, I just think it's really, really sad. It was such an amazing idea with some great people involved.
Mm. And the team is doing well because they had two wins at Donington.
That's the irony. You know, finally, Jason came out with a big claim. We're going to win in our first, you know, season and blah, blah, blah. And in fact, Dan Rowbottom won the first ever, you know, race to pole that we have with the new regulations that we have this season, you know, back at the beginning of the year. So, but yeah, they had their first sort of overall race win at Knock Hill. Luckily, Jason was there to enjoy that. But, you know, and then Adam Morgan won two more races this weekend and Jason's not there to enjoy it. And there was a genuine cloud over the whole paddock in a way. It really impacted everybody, yeah. I think, because
I can imagine that.
It's not nice for the people involved. It's not good for the people involved. It's just sad. It's really sad.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's not good for team morale, though
absolutely.
Clearly had a good weekend, but just not good for paddock morale and all that kind
of thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I guess things will move on.
Yeah,
but I just hope, you know, a lot of people have taken a bit of a battering over it. Mm. And I really hope that given, you know, where Jason was at before the start of this season and you know, and I know Dan is, you know, really suffering at the moment. He's come in for some really vicious comments from people on social media who really don't know what they're talking
about. Well, let's hope it gets better.
We
shall see what happens on that. Okay, well, it is time for us to move on now, really, to start thinking about the next Formula One race, because, of course, it's the Italian Grand Prix that's coming up at the amazing Monza circuit that you were talking about earlier, Louise. And the Italian fans have plenty to cheer about, because Antonelli is Italian, of course. But actually, I was seeing he will be starting from the back of the grid because they're doing an engine change. And because they've been through several engines already, there's a penalty. He has to start from the back of the grid. But it is a track we've seen them do that before, because at least overtaking is easier there if you've got straight line speed than it is at Zandvoort, where we saw overtaking is a bit harder. Ferrari, of course, very much the home circuit for Ferrari. But what about McLaren, of course, because they've been showing such great form. So what are our thoughts going into this?
Well, I mean, so far this season, there's been a lot of drivers that haven't done well in their home races. I mean, Max crashed out. And then right at the start of the season, Oscar didn't even start his home race. Mm. And then you had Charles Leclerc. He had a DNF at his home race. So we've got Kimi Antonelli on his proper home race.
Where he's had a spin in the past,
yeah,
of course.
I'm really hoping that it works out all right for him.
Do you know what? I hate to say it, but the crowd would far rather see a Ferrari victory than a Kimi Antonelli victory, wouldn't they?
They would, yeah. Probably,
it's just the way it goes over there. So I'm loving the... I've been there on a couple of occasions to witness a Ferrari victory, and it is something else. I mean, it goes absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
I would love to see Lewis win there.
Oh, that would be amazing.
That would be really good, wouldn't it?
That would be amazing, yeah.
That would be good. And I think given... I think their car should be quite good there.
Yeah.
I think given, you know, engine penalties, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. You never know. Ferrari going to put it out of the bag anywhere. Somehow they magically, it's almost like they think, right, we better get our act together this weekend. So, you know, the calls are a bit sharper and the pressure's on them there, and they seem to kind of respond quite well to the pressure when they get home.
It's like the fans just give them extra horsepower somehow. I don't know how they do it. Right, we're going to move on to our prediction championship of the world. Here is what's going on, Louise. It's honestly, right, the whole start of this season at this podcast, Ben was doing terribly.
Yes.
Like, so bad. Like, scoring literally nothing.
Harsh. I guess the numbers don't lie, though.
But genuinely, like, awful. And then suddenly, he's doing a Lando Norris or a Max Verstappen from last season. And he's creeping up. And now it's at the point where there is genuine concern from myself,
from
producer
you.
Jim. That he's going to suddenly overtake everybody. So here's how it stands at the moment. I'm still in P1 with 46 points, but I got another big fat zero because I just got
so rare.
So rare.
Yeah.
I'm putting my money on Kimi and I was just not doing well. Then it's producer Jim in P2 with 38 points. Got 6 points, Jim, for your Lando win. Very nice. Then it's Ben with 36 points, just 2 points behind producer Jim. You got 10 points for the top two, Ben.
Yeah, I managed to get it right. But it was a late move by Lando Norris on Kimi Antonelli.
Unreal. And then team guest, you're going to need to do some work here, I'm afraid.
Listen, you know, as team guest, I'm always rubbish on this.
Well, you can't do any work.
I said this before, haven't I?
Rachel Brooks did all right because she also went Lando for P1, so she got 6 points. So at the moment, team guest are in last place with 21 points.
Okay.
So we need P1, P2, P3, and on this podcast, you still get a point for fastest lap. So go for it.
Okay, as always, with my heart, I am going Lewis P1.
Oh, you're doing it. You're doing it.
I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm doing
it.
I'm going Lewis P1 because I just think that'd be amazing. I'm going to go George P2 with my heart again. George could do with a good result.
Okay.
Who should I go P3? Oh, let's stick with the British. I'll go Lando P3.
Little cheeky British podium there. Oh, nice.
That'd be good. Oh, I wasn't making that up. I wasn't thinking about that as I went along, but no, but that'd be good.
And fastest lap?
Fastest lap. That is Antonelli before he throws it off.
Okay.
Oh, hello.
Or maybe it'll be his turn to have a little bit of a technical issue.
Okay. Give me a lap that you think that's going to happen.
27.
27. I love this. I'm going to go down the bookies.
Please don't, honestly. Save
your money. I do find this one a tough one to predict, you know, and everything keeps changing this year, you know, it's very hard to predict. But actually, Mercedes are saying, well, we're not really making the progress that we were, but I still think Mercedes are going to be strong there. So I'm going to actually go for George Russell because we know Antonelli's got to start from the back.
Yes.
But I think Antonelli will move up well. But I'm going to go for George Russell for the win. I'm going to go for Charles Leclerc going second because he is pretty mega at Monza. There's no doubt about it. And actually, I think Antonelli might get as high as third, even though he's starting from the back. I know it's a bit mad.
That would be really impressive.
It would be. I'm going to give Hamilton the fastest lap. But yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Really nice. I'm going to go P1 Charles Leclerc.
Are you? Yeah, that does make sense.
A safe,
I feel like he had a pretty good weekend this weekend.
He did.
And what's stopping him from just, going to Monza and just being incredible? So I'm going to go, P1 Charles Leclerc. P2 will be Lando Norris.
Mm-hmm.
P3 will be Oscar Piastri. I just feel like both McLarens will be up there. I don't know what's going to happen to Lewis. I feel like he's just going to get cross again or something. And then fastest lap. I'm going to go for this now till the end of the season. Fastest lap, Fernando Alonso. It's going to happen at some point, surely. We've got 11 races.
You get a good toe at Monza.
Yes, exactly.
Got 11 races to get him a fastest lap. Come on, Fernando. Producer Jim.
Okay, I'm going Norris win. It's on. Three in a row.
Oh.
Leclerc second, because he's always so good at Monza. Hamilton third, Tifosi happy. And... yeah, Antonelli fastest lap because he gets a toe from the back.
A little cheeky toe. Very nice. Well, Louise, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me back again. It's been very nice having you back.
And hopefully you can have a nice calm weekend coming up. Have you got a calm
weekend? Yes, weekend off this weekend. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, yeah. So you can actually rest, because touring cars, like, that sounds crazy. Like, you think an F1 weekend is crazy. Touring cars is crazy.
It's full on. We're like live on air for 7 hours. Great racing there, if anybody wants to come along.
Yep, do it. Come. I'm gonna come. I'm gonna come. Yes, I am. Yeah, put me down. Can I have like hospitality or something? Is that a thing?
You can have. I'll share my bacon sandwich with you. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, a bit of brown sauce. Very nice. Well, thank you very much for watching. Let us know your thoughts and your predictions in the comments section below. Oh, by the way, I mean, we've now got a little week's break from racing, so why not go back and watch our episode with Ayo Komatsu? It was so nice seeing you two chat like old times.
It was. It was great to have him with us, and it was a lovely chat, so it's well worth looking at, yeah.
Yeah, see, we've got you covered while you've got a little week off. Meanwhile, we'll see you after Monza. Bye-bye.
Cheers.